Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Connell here. Big episode.
And we are talking season four premiere, which is, you know, it's one of my favorite episodes. I haven't seen it in years. Watching it back was awesome. We got Reese Coiro, who's going to come on in a minute, who played Billy Walsh, who honestly, I'm not being not fair. It's highway robbery that he was not nominated for an Emmy just for this episode, forgetting everything else he did
right,
in this.
Season four, episode one, Welcome to the Jungle, we're talking about. Now, would he have qualified for an Emmy for
actor for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's not a series regular, so it would be guest star. It would be a guest star.
That would up his odds a little bit.
I don't know how it works, because I actually want to talk to Reese in a minute about if he remembers what his deal was, we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but Reese showed up at the Disney Ranch about 40 miles north of Los Angeles
on a bike
in the rain on a dirt bike. It wasn't even, I wish it was a motorcycle. It was like a fucking dirt bike.
It was a barely street legal dirt bike.
Hey, Reese, you remember you let me take it for a ride too? They're like, oh no, now Dylan's on that thing. I was riding.
Well, anyway, we didn't actually say welcome, but from the farmlands of Georgia, I believe, Reese Coiro, what's happening?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's up, buddy?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
What are you doing there? What are you doing in Georgia?
Just relocated to the backwoods.
Really? You live there?
Yeah.
Wow.
He loves it, bro. And in this day and age, you fly out for roles. You put yourself on tape and you fly out, right?
That's a great idea.
Where are you?
About an hour south of Atlanta.
And what's the daily existence for you out there? I mean, are you really you're not farming?
I have 30 chickens.
Nice, dude. I used to have chickens.
Dylan loves chickens.
Yeah. Fresh eggs. It's great.
Dylan saved some chickens in the Malibu fires. Is that correct? Am I imagining?
I did. Yeah. I saved about 50 of them.
Good job. Good job.
They were all trapped. The post burned and the wire was sitting on top of them. They were trapped.
Oh.
I lifted up the wire. They all ran off.
Probably not the same chickens that Reese has now, but still, you can tell them that story, Reese. And I'm sure your chickens.
Those are Malibu chickens.
Spoiled.
High class chickens.
How are you doing, Reese? What's going on before we get into this episode? What's happening with you? Any exciting stuff? We all want to figure out something that we can do with you. So I don't know. What are you doing? Anything in the entertainment field at the moment?
Great. I wish I have Zoom agita, you know.
But, why?
Well, because I had the iPad. I had my daughter's iPad that I was going to use, and I had the AirPods connected, and then it didn't work. You know, I knew it wasn't going to work. I told Connolly that it was like, it always goes wrong for me.
I think you sound good. It sounds like it's working. So let's get into this episode, and let's get into a little background on Reese coming in, because I remember his audition like it was yesterday, and we all looked at each other like, fuck, we got a guy here. And then when we started shooting, and obviously this is not the beginning of Reese on the show, but when we started shooting, do you remember, Connolly, at the lunch, Reese came in for the first time and everybody was like, who the fuck is that guy? And
he's very brooding.
Yeah, about him, that Reese could have been a very interesting choice for Vince.
There's a world.
Early on. There is a world where there would have been a show with Reese's Vince. But anyway, Reese, tell me a little bit about, first of all, what kind of deal did we make with you, if you recall, for how many episodes of this show before you so insanely got on a dirt bike and drove out to the Disney Ranch in deep Valley?
Well, I had been on this first season.
Yep.
As guest star. And then I was on the second season in what was it? It was maybe two or three episodes.
Yeah. But this season, it was definitely
the third season, but the fourth season.
But this season was a strong, Reese is going to be a major functioning part of this season. So we must have made you like a 6 out of 10 deal or something like that. But
Doug wants to know why you couldn't qualify for an Emmy for this role in this episode, which we all agree was an Emmy worthy performance on your part. Did you watch the episode?
I watched it. Yeah.
What did you think?
It was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's just great. My mind went flooding back to that great premiere that we had of it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you saw it on the big
screen. We had a premiere. What was that, the Ziegfeld in New York?
Yeah, it was at the Ziegfeld in New York.
Ziegfeld, yep. One of the most famous theaters in New York. And yeah. We played this there. And, you know, this episode was definitely a homage to Hearts of Darkness, which is the making of Apocalypse Now. But Reese, do you have any recollection when you got the script? Because I'm really watching you now in this, and you're obviously a good friend of all of ours, but you're so good, and the choices you make are both, they're really real, but they're also really fucking funny, you know? Right. So, like, did you think, I want to play this for comedy, or were you just, I don't know, what was your thought, if you remember?
I remember just being so psyched up about it, you know, because it was like, and we've talked about this before, but it was how I, you know, it was the storyline and it was what I thought we were going to do with Queens Boulevard. It was going to be the disastrous inside making of, you know, but it was even better because it was in the jungle and it was like, you know, it was just so outrageous. So I don't know. I was so psyched to come to work every day.
You know,
on my dirt bike.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot with actors, and you know, it's like sometimes subtlety in acting can be overrated, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to just kind of go for it and go big, and you go big in this episode. I mean, the emotions are so high. One of the ones that we listened back to a couple times when we're walking, you're like, make sure a crane can fit through that window, or like, how am I going to see blood on a red door? By the way, very racially charged episode.
But can I also say that this is a very realistic look at independent filmmaking. And some of the things are pushed, like he needs 400 extras. He wants 1,000 additional extras.
By the way, 400 extras is ridiculous.
Yeah, 400
extras. That's a lot of money.
So that's why I say some things is pushed. But this is a very realistic look. And the weird thing is, and I wonder what Weiss would say, because Rob Weiss, who I modeled the Billy Walsh character after, and then, of course, Reese made it his own and took it to a new level. But I think some of the stuff that I was writing was what Rob was telling me when he was making his movie. Because the truth is, yes, Reese is really funny. And whether we want to say he's playing it heightened or not, there's also the scene with you and Reese is actually pretty emotional when he reveals he's actually like insecure.
I had 12 people in my last movie.
So, but Reese, do you remember when you showed up on the dirt bike? Do you remember, was there any thought about getting on that dirt bike? Like, if I crashed this
Doug's
thing,
traumatized
Entourage is over for the season. Was there any thought that maybe this is a little fucking crazy, or are you just crazy, Reese?
I mean, no, I don't. And I don't really ride motorcycles anymore. You know, like I remember some gusty winds on the 5 freeway.
It was raining too.
You never get on a bike thinking. You never get on a bike thinking you're going to crash it. You just get to work.
Well, it's not bad.
Beating the traffic is what you do.
Not bad enough that Reese shows up on the dirt bike, but then as Reese is standing there, Dylan takes it for a spin in the parking lot.
That bike was badass too. Was that a 400?
It was a 650. Actually,
650 was a big bike.
It was a big bike.
Yeah, it was a great bike.
When Dylan took a spin, Doug was like, okay, we have to have production rent Reese a car. We can't have him. The guy's in every scene, in every episode of the season, and we can't have him on a dirt bike. And tell Dylan to stop taking it for joy rides in the parking lot.
Yeah, I think my car was impounded or something at that point.
Have you ever been on a set with a crazy director? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, it's funny. I didn't have so much filmmaking experience at that point in my career. So it was all just like fantasy for me. But yeah, I mean, I was in a movie that Kevin Connolly directed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Connolly is a little crazy.
But were you playing it for laughs at all? Did you think like be funny here? Or did you say, let me play this as straight as I can?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't. For me, there's no difference, really. It's mm-hmm. no different. It's just like, you know, you got to make it work, and it's just there's only one MO.
Right. So play it real and keep it grounded. Because yeah. I mean,
at this point, his character's pretty well flushed out anyway, right? We already know this character. I mean, no, this is season 4. He's been in every season. How many episodes did you do total, Reese, of the 96? Do you know? 50.
Really?
40. That's a good question. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll have to have our crack stiff. We got Stock Tip Dave out of town. But, you know, the reason I say it is, as I recall from the previous episodes, I don't think we've ever seen, I could be wrong, Billy Walsh was never insecure, manic, and crazy. He was always cocky and arrogant. And on this, We just see a lot of layers to him that I found really funny and really interesting. And just even becoming obsessed with Sofia Vergara, which, by the way, that's Sofia Vergara, one of the biggest comedy stars of all time. And I believe her first English-speaking role,
it was definitely early on for her. Pre-Modern Family. This is a question for everybody, too. Watching the episode back, Grenier looks ridiculous in that makeup, right? So he looks positively ridiculous.
It's comical.
Yeah, and it's worse than I remember.
Yeah, well, it feels like, what's his name from the Andy Kaufman?
The sidekick? Tony Clifton.
Yeah, like how, you know, if anyone has ever seen that sketch and that movie, Man in the Moon with Jim Carrey.
Right, that's what he looks
brilliant.
Like.
Brilliant. But it looks, because one of the things I wanted to talk about, because...
Did you set out to make him look good?
No. We set out to make him look good. And also, I will take tons of credit for this screenplay because I actually think it's great. But what I will say about the Pablo Escobar scenes, Mark Mylod, who is one of the biggest directors in television
now.
He
shot the shit out of that one.
But I didn't write that stuff either. Mark, I said, listen, go make Medellin in trailer form.
Right, right.
And I thought it was genius. And I look at it now and I still, yes, Adrian's makeup.
I mean, talk about winning an Emmy. That guy should have won an Emmy for that episode.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, but when you're watching, and you guys tell me now, we just watched it. When you're watching this Medellin trailer.
Medellin. Jesus Christ.
Doesn't this movie look good except Adrian's makeup?
Yeah. And I don't know. For me, dude, I love Adrian, but Pablo Escobar, he is not. And the makeup didn't help him at all, you know?
It's part of what makes it so good, though. I mean, it's part of, like, you know, because there's a ridiculousness aspect to the thing, which is pleasing as an audience.
Well, you know part of it, because you're doing the comedy and the drama as much as you can. But I know, I have zero doubt that I sort of stole this. The Naked Gun, if you're remember it, there's a romantic sequence where Priscilla Presley and Leslie Nielsen are like having a montage of their love affair. And do you remember this, Dylan? They walk out of a movie theater and they're laughing hysterically, had the best time, and then they pull down and the movie is Platoon that they're watching. So when I was just cracking up, I completely forgot about it. When the guys sneak in to watch the dailies and there are like 100 dead people and they're all laughing, high-fiving, basically like it's just a glorious scene instead of the bloodbath that it is. But I don't know. Reese,
by the way, Liam Neeson is playing the lead role in the Naked Gun reboot. Did you see that?
Wow, Reese, breaking news. I did not
know
that.
Deadline Hollywood.
And John Hamm is playing Fletch. I saw the trailer yesterday.
They're just cranking, but kicking back all the ideas.
I want to see Liam Neeson.
So here's my question. I know we didn't know really what it was, but at what point did you decide? I know you said that when people started seeing the pictures of the makeup, when did you decide that, okay, the makeup is not flying? Because I know the idea was to make him look like Pablo Escobar. Obviously, that didn't work. But was it like when the episode aired and then the message boards lit up with how bad his makeup looked?
You know what it was? I thought, again, maybe looking at it now, it's actually laugh out loud funny the first time you see his makeup and Reese saying thicken his nose.
Thicken his nose. No, that's right. Thicken it or I'll find somebody who can.
But when I saw the stuff that Mylod shot for the Medellin movie, I was like, holy shit.
This is a good movie.
This looks like a great movie.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah. And then when
worse is the Spanish. I mean, the bad Spanish the great actor who played the lead role didn't speak Spanish either. So it's kind of like it predicted that as well.
By the way,
it's a great point, Reese, because I loved Narcos, and as ridiculous as that guy was, he never took me out of it. You know, he just...
The question is...
But if you were a Spanish speaker, for like Spanish speakers, they're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, this is crazy. You know, like this guy doesn't even speak Spanish.
Reese,
he got better over the years. But
we've been talking about this here because we just entered a deal and we want this to be the first episode.
It's not going to be the first episode, unfortunately.
All right, well, we'll figure that out. But it sounds crazy, Reese, but they can take our voices, your voice and the three of our voices... They put them into an AI model, and they allegedly will have us speak.
Not allegedly.
Well, when I hear it, it's alleged until I see it. We will speak perfect whatever language they want to put us into. And one of the things that Connolly and I spoke about for an hour last night is, okay, well, if that even worked, if they can make us sound like we speak fluent Spanish, what dialogue is it? Is it street? Is it... you know, fancy, whatever.
You
it
know,
is.
So, you know, Reese, my girlfriend, my baby mama is from Medellin. I'm actually going to Medellin for Christmas and New Year's. So now I know how to say Medellin.
Will
and
you wear
I feel
that
guilty.
Shirt there?
I'm bringing my Medellin shirt. Hell yeah, I am. But
you're gonna get kidnapped, bro.
Yeah. You know, she obviously speaks fluent Spanish, but that's one of the things that that's her biggest problem with it. She's just saying that like Mexican Spanish is wildly different than Colombian Spanish, and Colombian Spanish is wildly different than Puerto Rican Spanish. So what are we gonna be? Are we gonna be California
and
dudes?
Spain is the weirdest of all with all the TH sounds.
I don't know, but we
but
will.
But it's like Australian versus London versus
like
New York.
Yes. It's like deep fake shit.
Yeah, I mean, fake shit.
I was watching this Instagram account where this guy is like pretending to be Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Have
sick.
You seen this thing?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yo, that's going to be us.
It fooled me. Like, I went back and looked at it knowing that it was deep fake and I could see. But before I knew it, I was like, what is happening here? This is amazing. Tom Cruise
so
is doing
Reese,
this.
So Reese, take it a step further. We could do, if Dylan didn't show up, I could do Dylan on the podcast and turn my voice
you
into Dylan.
Never.
All right, the wait is almost over. New football season is about to begin. Get ready for the NFL Week 1 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game and then get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action for opening night? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Get up 7, you win. Bet on any NFL team of your choice, and if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code VICTORYPOD to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code VICTORYPOD, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
What's coming, Reese, for real, whether it's 6 months from now or 5 years from now, they will be able to take our Entourage episodes or any movie or anything. They will be able to work with the mouth digitally and then translate that actor's voice into the language you want it. So it will never be that horrific dubbing again. Now, how
so you could stay in Georgia, bro. You don't have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, we don't need you anymore for the reboot, Reese. We could just
recreate you a check.
They say that the voice part component right now is dead on and they're 5 years out of being able to do the lips.
It's crazy. So,
we'll see.
So let's get more into this episode. You know,
I think the big question is for you, Doug. That's who a lot of these questions are for. What did you think? I'm confused because I don't remember. What was this movie? Was this movie going to be good?
Medellin was going to be a hit, especially after I saw Mileage trailers.
Right.
And I was like, oh, we are going to crush this. And I scrambled to change it after the message boards, which just remember back to 2006, 2007, wherever we're talking. There were nothing, right? There weren't a lot of messages. I mean, we're talking like maybe 20. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like millions of people were weighing in. But people were like, this movie looks ridiculous. And I was like, does it? Okay. So I completely changed the story from that. You know, I thought Billy Walsh was going to be Scorsese with a bad attitude. I didn't plan on having to make, you know, a disastrous movie, you know? And you see how much he cares. And
but the message boards were like, the movie looks like shit, the makeup looks like shit, and you were like, oh boy, we got to turn this into it. We got to get in front of this, basically.
Yeah, 100%. So, Reese, do you remember that scene? Because I think it's so well done, and it's not in the script. So do you remember how you did it with the guy at the table read, where you guys are kind of jazzing each other up and screaming louder and louder and louder at each other? I mean, do you remember what that scene was, and was that... I don't even remember being on set that day, but Mylod must have really pushed you guys because that guy was basically
an extra. Right?
And the scene is hilariously funny. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember?
Yeah. And no, I just watched it. No, there was all sorts of little things that Mylod was grabbing that were great little beats, like when I'm tasting the cocaine and stuff. And like, I don't remember how we were doing it, but it was a very, the shooting of the episode had a very kind of Medellin feel. We're just like running and gunning around, grabbing things.
I mean, it was a massive, a lot of extras. I mean, that was a massive, that's got to be the biggest episode we've ever done.
It's certainly
those expensive. Those explosions,
big.
They all go off and you're like, I'm going to need a, Reese goes, I'm going to need another one. Everyone's like, no.
You know, but it's the other thing too about the episode is it really does walk you through. I mean, there's the production meeting,
yeah,
the table reading, yep, the makeup tests, all that kind of stuff. So it really is
bringing in a new writer.
By the way,
yeah.
Well, the table read, I've been thinking a lot about the table reads that we used to do on the show.
Yeah.
You know, because it's few and far between now that you do a table read on a project. It's like, it's kind of gone the way of the dinosaur, unfortunately, in a lot of instances. But like the table reads for Entourage, I remember as like peak moments, like some of them as like peak moments.
Really?
You know, just like, I really do. It. I don't know. You guys were annoyed because you guys were always shooting and you hated it. But I like, it was fantastic. Like, and as the years went by, they got more and more packed. You know, it was like a huge theatrical event.
Oh, wow.
And then, I love
it. It's cool.
If you didn't deliver.
And it's so key, really.
If you didn't deliver, though, you'll get cut.
Isn't that key for you as a writer?
I mean, I've, you know, a lot of people will say to me that I'm crazy. I did like table reads, but I was never really a person who like listened to the table read and said, oh, that didn't work, even though Dylan thinks like lines were cut or changed. And we were very fortunate because most television shows, especially comedies, the executives are there. There's punch up writers that you have in the room. I didn't have any of that. We had our core group of people, and we were fortunate enough to let that HBO let us decide what worked and what didn't work. So I always found the table reads more of like fun than, oh my God, I realized something that I thought worked didn't work.
I don't think we got cut on Entourage, but on other shows,
stuff
will get cut if they feel it didn't work.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The executives.
There was things that got cut. I remember like things that didn't work, or if somebody showed up and didn't do a good job at the table read, they were out of it.
Well, if you definitely
lower level characters,
if you saw actors that you didn't think had what you thought they had, yeah, of course that's a different thing. But when I have my main cast that I already knew what they could do, you know,
like we were never getting fired from a table reading, or if we flubbed a bit, it wasn't going to get cut.
No.
I always said, you know, first of all, none of us, you're right, Reese, we always hated it. But the levels of tension on the Entourage ones were different because of job security. But to Dylan's point, and I think to your point, Reese, you know, out there in the real world, bro, you have a bad table reading and you could go bye-bye in a real hurry. Yeah. I've seen it happen. Yep. In fact, I got fired from a bad table reading.
Wow. Which one? What show?
There's a show called Daddy Dearest, 93.
Who was in it?
It was a sitcom with Richard Lewis and Don Rickles.
And they fired you.
I got fired from a bad table reading.
Did you feel, were you hungover? Did you feel like?
No, I didn't. By the way, I didn't understand the importance of the table reading. To me, it was like, I don't know, I already got the job. We were just kind of riffing through the lines. I didn't know it was like a performance thing. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I think I've been pretty good table reading ever since. But yeah, we always hated it because it was like we had to come at lunch, right? So we're shooting. We got four pages before lunch, do a table reading.
It's cutting into my nap
Cutting
time.
Into the nap.
So let me ask you guys this question, though, because, I mean, you know, obviously Hearts of Darkness was a big inspirational film to me. But also, you know, Christopher Guest's mockumentaries, you know, Waiting for Guffman and Spinal Tap and Best in Show. But I really did. I remember it. Of course, I wanted this to be funny. I tried to write it real. But do you guys remember? Because there was a couple of people back then that were like, what is this episode? We can't start a season off with something such a departure. Do you guys remember when you got the script?
I was like, oh my God. I love the idea. I mean, of the 96 episodes, this is so far different than anything breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
It's documentary. And the other thing too, for people listening, the narrator. So Mark, we had two big gun directors besides myself. it was Mark Mylod and Julian Farino. And Julian Farino was like our original guy. So while Mylod directed the episode, Julian did the narration.
Yeah.
Julian did the narration as the documentary
filmmaker.
Yeah,
the British filmmaker.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But wait, where was I talking about
when you got the script, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I just remember thinking like, holy shit, this is just so different than anything we'd ever done. And
you loved it right away. I didn't really love it as much. I thought it would have been a good second. I thought for the first one, it was too different
than
everything else we did, and people are going to freak out.
It was pretty ballsy.
There were some people who freaked out on, again, those 20-person message boards. But looking back at it
I
now.
I love it.
I love it. So
In 8 seasons of Entourage, 8 premieres, the only time I ever sat in and watched an episode at the premiere was Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah.
Because it was so cinematic. I'm like, you know, I want to see this. I wanted to see this on the big screen. I mean, that was a madhouse. What a great night that
Usually
was.
Usually you were in the pub pounding beers.
Oh, man, those lights would dim, and I'd be like, whoop.
So see, yeah, but out so quick at the
premiere. Talk about that night. Do you guys have any recollection, any good stories from the premiere night?
I mean, they all kind of blend together. We had some great
premieres.
I can't
remember what we did.
Fucking Alkies.
Did we go to my place, Sugar? No, that was different.
That was the first premiere. Pouring two bottles of whiskey down my throat. Yeah.
Pouring two bottles down Doug's throat.
Doug missed.
He had alcohol poisoning.
Doug missed his interview with USA Today because he had alcohol poisoning.
We've had some awful
hangover. He had food poisoning.
And Reese came in from after the Vegas trip with Wahlberg and shaved his head.
No, it wasn't Wahlberg. It was my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember that, Reese?
That's right.
I called Reese. I was like, what are you doing this weekend? And this is early on. It was season one, right? It was Queens Boulevard. I said, Reese, what are you doing this weekend? You want to come to Vegas with me and the guys? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, let's go. He's like, well, what do I said? Just go outside. There'll be a car. Get in it and we'll go. And then remember the meeting point. Everybody meet here 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. We all waiting there. Reese comes down 11:15 with his head shaved.
That was a shocking moment.
That was a shocking. Yeah.
What happened, bro?
And we ended up, I ended up fortunately being able to make that work in the Sundance episode. But Reese, what?
Of course.
I just want to give me a minute with Reese though. So Reese, between the shaved head and the dirt bike to the thing, is there any thought in your head going, somebody's going to fucking be pissed about this? Or you're just you and you're just going Carnegie Mellon theatrical actor.
I mean, I don't know. I was in my 20s.
You were nuts. Like, it's hard to imagine that Reese, out of all of us, is like this four-kid family man, right? And, you know, seemed like Reese, if anyone who was on this show could have been like the wild card that you're like, you hear about Reese, oh my God, he's out of his fucking mind. But you've been a very, like, kind of, you're a very regular guy.
Survived.
Yeah.
But the shaved head was all part of character, actually. That was the plan for the character. That was character. That was all thought out.
Well, yeah, you committed to that one right away. That's for sure. We were stuck with that one.
He made an actor's decision. He's going with the shaved head.
That's right.
Don't give him a choice. Otherwise, Doug would be like, you're not shaving your head.
All right. So what else, though, do you guys remember from this episode, the shooting of it? It's, again, very different than anything we've done before.
It's ironic, too, about Piven. I mean, you got to figure Piven probably worked one day, right? I mean, he was probably did a couple changes and he had like three or four pops. I mean, he drills them hard when the pitches come down the pipe. But I mean, that was just us out there, and it was long days, long, long, long days out there.
But it's little things to look at, like just for a great director. Like for instance, Piven has that moment where he gets into the elevator as he's leaving, and he's like, "Oh my God, wait, they got Gagan." Like that's not scripted. That's Mark Mylod giving some visual help to a scene. Like he could have just been sitting on the couch for every moment
desk,
he did.
Right.
And Mylod, again, the shots of like the four of you looking over the camera. Projector as Billy's in the scene. It's a beautiful shot, and it looks like a
The whole episode was shot beautifully. The way the camera moves, I had forgotten just how much energy the camera had in the show, you know, and it really helped with the scene. Like all of our scenes were in motion, and there's so much motion in the episode. It was fantastic.
It was lots of movement in this episode.
And the extras casting, not the extras, but the smaller roles, the cinematographer, which,
Sven?
You know, Sven, who reminds me of my old friend from AFI, Steps, who is a German cinematographer. But I mean, when Reese attacks him, it does not feel fake. It feels absolutely like I'm right there with it. And I've felt those moments at the premiere like you have. I've walked out of premieres where everybody's laughing and I'm like, I fucking hate it. So that was definitely some of my mode there.
Do you guys remember that night when that fight happened? Do you remember how cold it was? Do you guys remember that?
I remember the fight, but I don't remember how cold
it was. Like cold to where come on, do we have to do like another take? Like our bones were like freezing up. It was like, yeah, we got to do another one. It was late and it was cold. Cause remember, we would start, you know, probably February, March. Yeah. So that's like kind of a chilly, and at night out there it would get kind of cold.
Oh, I was cold going back on the dirt bike that night.
Reese, we were also laughing. You remember this is the scene where you won't shoot because the clouds aren't right? I got up and I was like, you know, I got to be honest. He's not wrong about that one. It's just you can't shoot direct sunlight. We you cannot overhead sunlight just beaming right down on top of you is the worst light.
Do you know how many times on Entourage we didn't want to shoot because we wanted Entourage to always be blue sky, sunny, wish fulfillment stuff. But when you're on a schedule, you know, unfortunately you don't have the time, but I mean, he's sitting there and Reese, some of your choices, even with the, which I don't know if I didn't suggest it to you, Mylod suggested to you, but when you nailed like the mosquito on you where you're talking to her, it's just phenomenal. It's very good stuff.
The audition scene. Yeah. Are directors generally get obsessed with their lead actresses? Is that kind of the story?
I mean, I don't want to say it's general. I never have, but it's obviously in the history of Hollywood, it's happened many, many, many times, you know,
right.
Sometimes where they've actually gotten together and sometimes where, you know, it's been a harassment situation.
What did Reese say? Will you tell Mr. Chase to add a little passion into the scene?
Do you guys have any recollections of Sofia Vergara? Did anyone, besides that she's beautiful, did anyone go, wow, this girl's going to be a star? Do you remember talking to her, interacting with her?
I mean, I knew her before. Oh, you did? I knew her a little bit beforehand. So, yeah. But, I mean, to say, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. I mean, talk about, you know, the right role at the right time. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And she really didn't speak that much English back then.
Yeah, I mean, I think she spoke, and I think that was pretty much her English.
Yeah, yeah.
Was what you saw. I mean, she's still kind of.
And by the way, Doug, this is for you. Did Johnny Drama really get her, or was he full of it?
Did Drama get
her? Don't tell Walsh, but it was me who. Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Got a little handy.
When I watched that just now, I thought it was so fucking weird. I actually didn't think, because I don't
Drama's a lot of things. He's not a liar.
Yeah,
I think he.
Maybe he got a handy.
I think he might have got a handy.
Is that possible?
I mean,
he might have got a handy.
I'm kind of with Turtle on this one that I do.
But
not
as an
believe.
Actor, my backstory is he got a handy. Yeah, just saying he got a handy.
So you think you believed it?
A little Baltimore handshake.
It was the only thing in the whole episode that stood out to me. Going like I. Not, it's not about PC or anything.
But how did that one slip strange. Through the cracks? It felt because Drama's a lot of things. He's not a liar.
Yeah.
And so no I, therefore, that said, I would have to believe. You don't know that. What do you mean?
I don't know. Come out and say it.
I mean, I don't know. I guess
why I don't think it happened is based on the movie that I just watched or the episode. They didn't have any interaction besides Dylan. That was a genius, genius moment when you, the Buena Suerte to her and you like.
You take your hat when you get kicked out of the reading.
I showed up late, so I missed that during the screening today, but
I will say, Doug, that whole episode, that was the one moment where I went, huh. Interesting.
The thing when you talk about realism and realistic stuff, there's pretty much 0% chance that Turtle and Drama would be in that audition in the first place. There's no way they would be there. But what I will say, because I was just with Connolly set me up with a big manager to talk about representing Ramble On, and he was telling me stories when he was at WME. Mark Wahlberg had a couple of his guys. They really got jobs, which we sort of used it for Turtle later in the show. But he got them jobs at the place. And he said he walked into one of the staff meetings.
Oh, like suit and tie jobs.
Yeah, but he walked into one of the staff meetings, which is like, you know, they're big deals at the agencies, especially back then. And one of Wahlberg's friends rolls in and sits there. And someone says, you're talking about an entire agency staff meeting. It's not about Mark Wahlberg, although...
It's not a Mark Wahlberg meeting.
Yeah, it's about the whole giant 200-person agency.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, other guys.
So they walk in and they sit down and they say to him, I forget who it was, they're like, you're not supposed
to be
Gallo.
Here. It's Johnny Gallo.
I think you're right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll say his name.
Yeah, and he goes, you're not supposed to be here. He goes, Maki says I should be. So, and by the way, nobody was going to stop him from
being like, all right, well, pull up a seat. There's a pad and pencil right there.
All right, so what else? Come on. Give me some recollections of anything. Do you guys remember shooting any of these scenes?
Here's what I would say. And Reese, I'm curious what you think. I mean, I'm not sure how often you touch back on Entourage, but we've been going back and, you know, we haven't watched these episodes in, I don't know, whatever, 15 years, 16 years. But it's funny how different people remember things differently. Like when we would do DVD commentary, we were doing that five months after we shot. Now, 16 years later, everybody has their own kind of memory. Not that anybody's lying, but it's just everybody remembers things differently. I don't know what you're remembering, Doug. A lot of things you try to remember are a little out there. Yeah, I just remember really early calls. I remember getting there when it was still dark.
Yeah.
I remember leaving when it was dark. I remember what is that place called where they used to shoot?
The Disney Ranch.
But what is it? I mean, it just is
just
like
a studio, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's always set for some
Western towns and things like that. You know, I mean, I think it was just used for a lot of Westerns and whatever. I don't know. But, right. You know, our guys did such a great job with the production design. And
I would love to know how much something like that cost.
That episode?
Could we find out? I bet you Gary would know.
Did we also shoot in Pasadena for some of that, too? Some of the jungle stuff?
I don't.
Altadena.
It was the botanical gardens.
Yeah, the botanical gardens. Very jungly looking.
Oh, you know what? It's so funny that you mentioned that. That was the day. Right across from the San Anita racetrack.
Yeah, right by the track.
Yes.
I broke for lunch.
That's where I went.
We went to the track during lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played it right, but they were running.
My boy Don Johnson gave me some picks.
Yeah, by the way, Bob
Not
Baffert.
Not that Don Johnson.
No, the real Johnson.
Bob Baffert was there hanging out. We were in the middle of the day, but what were we shooting? What would we have been shooting there? I don't understand. What scene?
The jungle. Anything that was real jungly, they went to the botanical gardens because it looked like Columbia jungle. You know,
God, I literally
the finale where the explosion
That was at the Botanical Gardens.
Yeah,
that wasn't on the ranch.
Nope, not that bit.
I got to tell you,
that's crazy.
Shot,
I have no idea what
you guys tell me about that. I honestly have no recollection of, and I was 100% there. I don't remember shooting that scene, and I can't believe what it looks like. It looks like a $50 million movie.
It looks great.
You know, so what do you guys remember, like, that night?
I do. Do you remember, Reese?
I mean, I don't really remember anything.
We knew where the explosions were going to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were big, but I had the thought. That's the biggest explosion that I've ever been involved in terms of actually being...
It looks insane on camera. I mean, that explosion is insane.
I wonder...
It's a mushroom cloud.
You know what, though? I think there might have been additional computer graphics.
Might have been additional. Yeah.
The explosion happened and it was big, but it just...
But Colin, what do you mean? You were in the Notebook, like war scenes, nothing?
Yeah, but it was like, that's true. Yeah, it's true, but that was
I've seen bigger, bro.
Dylan has a new movie out, Hot Seat. Does that have any
explosions? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we got some.
All right, so everybody check that out. It's available. Should be available soon.
Yeah,
right?
Hot Seat. It's good, man. Yeah. It's really good.
Hot Seat's out. Yep. What about you, Reese? What have you been doing? I know you pop up all the time. What have you been working on and what's going on?
Yeah, I just did this movie. I was just in Mexico City doing this
Think piece.
Cool movie.
A think piece.
Was it a think piece?
A which piece?
A think piece. A think piece.
Yeah.
What did you do, Reese? What was it? Tell us about it.
It's sort of like a modern blaxploitation type of movie directed by Mike Olmos. And it was cool, man.
I love Mexico City. Great city.
Mexico City is a heck of a town.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
I was there for 3 weeks, and I didn't have much work to do. So I got a lot of time to
hang out. It's fun.
That is trouble. I mean, I got to tell you, there's so much about Reese that people would be so shocked at.
Well, he pops up in strange
stories. But Reese
stories.
Can fucking pick up a guitar. Girls love this guy, first of all. And I know he's married, and no, he's not available. But I'm just saying. I have been with Reese. He picks up a guitar and starts singing, and like five girls. Act like he's Elvis.
Can you play the guitar, Reese?
Yeah, man. But and then I'm about to come out in She-Hulk. I have a really fun character in that.
She-Hulk?
Like Hulk.
Oh, She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
She's a lawyer.
Oh, that's a series. I thought it was a series. Scotty in the booth has a question for you, Reese. Who directed that?
My lovely wife.
Oh, nice. All right, Scotty.
Yeah, Reese, I watched you in... I think you should leave the sketch comedy show with, I think his name's Tim Robinson, and you do like a great Johnny Cash impression. So the musical abilities from Reese, they're there.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's funny. That's like people either recognize me from Entourage or from that.
Really?
All
right, I'm going to have to watch this. I mean, you know, Reese
is a very funny sketch.
Reese is multi-talented. And anyone who's interested in real theater or real acting, Carnegie Mellon is probably, Reese, yes, the best in the country for that, if you can get in. Certainly
yeah,
up there.
Great.
Yeah. The Entourage band is coming together. Reese is our guitar player and lead singer. Dylan's the drummer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Jerry and Adrian and I are going to do with it.
We do strictly St. Patty's Day. Traditional Irish music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You are Reese.
Clancy Brothers.
Reese has been involved in a couple St. Patty's Days with Dylan.
Me and Reese have been known to grab a pint or two
at Irish Times.
Guinness.
Irish Times.
Oh, yeah.
I left you guys there. I said, behave yourselves. Yeah,
and we didn't.
Where is it that you lost Reese? Was that Vegas?
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. Reese, you come up, your name comes up in these weird stories. We had on Asif Cohen, who played Yair Marks. And then Jerry told a story about how he stole a cab from you and Jerry at Cannes, and you guys had to walk home and you got lost in the streets of Cannes. Every time there's like a story, Reese is sort of involved.
I got lost in those streets
too.
Like, it's confusing.
It was like a mountain. We were staying in like a remote mountaintop hotel, yeah. And if I remember, and I wanted to walk, but Jerry definitely did not want to walk. I was like, let's walk it. And it ended up being like a 3.5-hour walk.
Jerry, by the way, I would love to have filmed that.
I did the same thing alone, a 3-hour walk looking for the place.
Jerry is still a little upset with Asif. He felt like...
That was pre-Uber, you know?
Yeah. Jerry said, like, I'm working tomorrow. I'm shooting. He's got the day off. I'm getting in the cab, and he jumped in a cab, and he stole Jerry and Reese's cab, and Jerry still harbors some minor resentment all these years later.
It's hilarious. So, Reese, I wanted to, you know, you just mentioned your wife, Kat.
God, talk about being on fire, huh?
Very successful filmmaker. She just did the J-Lo movie. What was it? Marry Me? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, great movie.
So what's it like to be directed by your wife? How does she compare as a director to both myself and Kevin Connolly? you don't have to answer the second part.
It's just, she's getting paid to tell me what to do, basically, which is not, you know, it's just, that's the only difference.
Yeah. So,
but she tells you what to do anyway. Now she's just getting paid to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
So, but do you find that creatively freeing, or is it something that you guys really have a connection with, or is it something that makes it a little nerve-wracking or anything?
No, that was, I mean, listen, I play a magician on the show, and I had like some time to prepare, like some weeks, even months to prepare to like learn magic tricks. And I, you know, it was great because it was like, you know, the script said like he does magic, you know, or like, you know, but I was like, I wanted to put a magic trick in every, like on every line in every scene. I want to be magic tricks always have.
When will that air?
It was like a real great collaboration. It was great.
When will that air?
What?
When will that air?
When will that air? I think in 2 weeks.
Nice.
Or it's episode 4 of the show. And I think the show's on episode 2 right now.
But there would be no way. There'd be no way to completely separate the two. Right, I mean, it's still your wife. You guys have been together for a million years, right? And you're gonna go, no, I'm gonna do it this way. You got to at least let me try it, right? Like, she obviously knows you got the goods, right? You're telling like, you know what? You just make sure I'm in focus and enjoy, right? I mean, come on, there's no way that Reese is going against those killer instincts, you know?
Well, what do you say to that, Reese? I mean, is that there are some directors who are very hands-on with actors. There are some that cast and let him go. Like, how was your relationship with your wife on the set with regards to that?
No, it was great. It was awesome. Yeah. It was nothing. It was great. I love it. And it turned out great. We were just at the premiere, and the episode aired at the premiere, and it was just like, it just killed. It was great.
Good. I'm excited to see it. All right. Well, what else we got on this episode? Anything?
You know what I remember about this episode? Me and Kevin were going to get really buffed. We were going to start working out. So it was the first season. It was the first episode of season 4. Right?
Yeah, right.
So we're like, all year long, we're going to get sick. We're going to get in great shape.
We had dumbbells.
We're
going to
work out. This was the only episode we did it, but
we worked out day 1 and 2, and then
that was
they sat my
that
the was
it. Sat
but we my
were we had a great of plan of like getting really yoked, and it just didn't
what
happen.
What happened? You got tired or what?
Yeah, you know,
lunch break.
Lunch break. Turned
you
into
want to work
nap.
Out or you want to take a nap? Let's take a nap.
Let's take a nap. Reese, by the way, you're still in great shape, but Reese was in great shape in that episode. He looks jacked up.
You know, Reese has been along for really all the great adventures. Reese, did you actually come with us to Sundance? Or was your
stuff? Of course. Oh, no, to Sundance. No, I didn't go.
Right. You're in the episode, but you didn't actually travel to Sundance. But Reese was at Cannes, right? He was, anything big that we did, Reese was there.
Yeah. I'm really interested now if anyone could find out how many episodes Reese actually did, because he really was a big,
I always felt like he was a regular.
He was a big part of it from the second he walked in on that audition.
How many, so, Scotty?
I looked. I can't find it, but he's in almost every season.
Right.
I don't have an exact number.
Right.
I think that was part of why having, like, you know, drama and Turtle in the casting session felt real, because there was like part of the character was like he is like friends with these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
friends. Yeah. You know, they're.
It is amazing, though, the abuse that you dish out to Connolly over and over. And you do, though, there is something about it. And I always say one of the hardest things for an actor to do is to be a likable asshole. And nobody watches this show and doesn't love Billy Walsh.
Well, I mean, I get called suit once a day.
He's such a jerk. And you see Dylan's shirt here, this suit suck shirt, available.
Available at
the merch store.
VictoryThePodcastMerch.com.
VictoryThePodcastMerch.com.
But, you know, it's a tricky thing. And again, Reese, I think you already said it, but I'll ask again. You know, you're just trying to make it real. You're not going... make this guy likable. He believes what he believes, and the audience will judge, or what? What's your approach to that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's come to pass since then that I've, you know, that it's like, I find myself playing a lot of antagonistic.
I fucked you up. Just Connolly has to keep playing short roles because of me, and you have to do this.
You know,
but it's more fun to be the antagonizer.
Yeah,
than
I would imagine. I imagine you had more fun.
And in a way, it's easier. Like, it's harder. Like, Kevin Connolly's role is, in a way, like the most challenging role on the show, to be like straight man who's like just sort of like. Has the things have to happen to, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's more challenging in a way.
No, I mean, no, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm on the other end of that abuse. And I remember I would get scripts and like open up the script and go, was Doug mad at me or something?
There he goes again.
I'm like, what do I do? I shake Bronca's hand and he's like, oh, like, do you have tiny hands? I'm like, tiny hands. I just get abused and you know.
You know what the truth is, though, Reese? Like, Connolly's character was the closest, and I do see the things that I wrote that sound like Ari, but he was the closest to me in personality, and I guess that's how I view the world, that like I'm
you have little hands?
No, that I'm constantly being I'm constantly being abused by everyone around me. I don't know.
You know, so. I have a I mean, Reese is such a big part of this whole season. Obviously, we got to ask him the questions while we're here. When does the Pablo Escobar tattoo on the back come into play? Does anybody of course none of us know that. But it's probably
That's in post-production, isn't it?
Right.
Wait, they never painted that on your back?
No. I mean, like, it's in post-production,
Right.
It's when you guys are looping.
Is that when it
is? Isn't it,
yes.
Right? Well, you guys are doing the looping.
But they really painted your back, correct?
Yeah, it was a very
silk screen.
High end applique.
it was like 3 hours in the makeup trailer, I bet.
How long did you sit for that?
I gotta plug my shit in here. Yeah, I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, Reese, how long did it take them to put that tattoo on you?
It was, I don't know.
But like two hours to 20 minutes?
No, I think it was more like, it was more like an hour.
Right. Because the tattoo, we see it obviously in it, you know, in this season.
We see the movie as well, which is really cool.
And then the tattoo disappears. And then in the episode that I directed, season 7, episode 7, they surprised me. Because Reese, I'm like, he can't, you know, he doesn't have the tattoo. He's got to have his shirt on. And I was kind of bummed out. And they came back from lunch. And Reese turned around and he was like, and they surprised me with the tattoo.
That's awesome. But
didn't it show up in the movie as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Reese?
They put some kind of sealant on it. I remember in that scene when I was swimming in the pool, they put some kind of sealant on it and then they couldn't get it off. And they rubbed my back raw, trying to get it off.
Right?
Should have just wore it for a couple months.
I was gonna say,
I should have just gotten a tattoo for real. It's not too late.
Reese, I would love if you did that.
And then,
be good for the reboot, bro.
The tattoo comes back in the movie. And Reese, I don't know if you remember. Remember the day I broke my leg that day, or I broke my leg a couple days earlier. And the ironic thing is, I'm supposed to be on Molly. And all this kind of shit. But truth is, like, I was like on like painkillers and Vicodins and beer because I fucking leg was broken. And I have this like hazy, like the last scene was with Reese. And when we finished, I said, I gotta go. I gotta go to the hospital, man. I can't do another. They're like, all right, we're gonna come back.
Remember, I picked you up and carried you onto your mark in one scene.
Yeah.
Yep. You could move. I literally lifted him and carried him over.
But Reese, I don't know if you saw, if there's a, it's on my Instagram, but it pops up every once in a while. There's like Reese pulls his shirt down and I have like my warm-up jacket on and I'm like pointing at the tattoo.
One of my favorite pictures.
Yeah. It was like 20 minutes before the incident, before the leg break heard around the world.
Well, anyway, Reese, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully you'll come in when you come to LA.
You going to be in LA anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm coming out there in like a couple weeks. No, in a week, actually. 2 weeks.
All right. Well, if you want to come in studio, we'll talk some more to you and ramble on. We're hoping we're going to get you on there when we get this show rolling too, because we want to bring the whole gang
back.
That
would be awesome.
Yeah. I was just out there. I had no idea you were living there. I was in Athens.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You guys would have met there. You never would have met.
I would have hooked up. We would have hung. I would have put him in the movie.
Reese is like, yeah, talk to my agent about that. I don't shine shoes no more. Right? Reese, tell him you don't shine shoes no more. You got a quote. Tell him to go through the proper channels. Here's the thing. This is where the famous line, right? This is the first time, or was there a Queens Boulevard? I don't make movies. I make films.
Yeah. I love that. I think he says he hates the word movies, but I loved the, I'm going to get some jerk off who says I'm a narcissist, but I don't even, it's not even about me writing this anymore. It was written and now it exists, but the opening is just that line, Billy Walsh, whatever it said.
His quote?
Yeah, his quote is just phenomenal. And Reese, what's amazing is he embodies it so well. There's like when we think about Rob Weiss playing this role or Vincent Gallo playing this role or any, there's not a single actor on the planet Earth that I think could have captured this the way Reese did. I really don't.
Funny thing is, with all of the talk of Medellin went on, I remember this from when we were shooting that episode. The first time I heard Reese say it, I was like, oh man, that's it.
Medellin.
Yeah. Like I was like, Reese is not just going rogue. That's it. I knew. I was like, fuck. Yeah. We've been wrong for 2 years.
Reese, do you actually speak Spanish?
Sí.
Total bien.
No, I speak Spanish really well now. At that point, my Spanish was kind of so-so, but now it's muy bien. Right.
But I mean, could you go and make your way through a Spanish-speaking town? All right,
Mexico City.
No, I speak fluent Spanish, man. I speak it fluently.
All right, give us something before we go. Give us something. Just
que les vaya muy bien, mis amigos, mis compañeros.
By the way, this
friends
is my girl's fucking
friends
love this
and
guy.
Companions.
And by the way, Reese, I forget you're Irish, but don't you have some Latin in you or something like that? Because right now
he's Irish Italian, right?
Irish Italian. That's right.
Because he could seriously like pass for Spanish right now in a second, and we put him in like
a Spanish movie
with his fucking guitar and his.
He's got a Mexican sound to his canastas
and stuff.
And Reese, remember when you remember?
That's right. Yeah. The one. Well, I really learned it working on a show in Mexico. I was down there for months, like a miniseries, and then that's where I started to really get good.
Reese, do you remember?
But I always wanted to speak it.
Reese, when you came back in season 7, and I think that was the episode that I was directing, or else why would you be pitching it to me? But you're like, I got an idea for a line. I was like, well, what do you got? What do you got? When you were talking about the twins, you're like, I'm like, oh, you have kids. You're like, yeah, I got a set of Irish twins, set of regular twins. Do you remember the line? And I was like, I said, well, let's do it. I'm sure Doug will like it. We'll get the safety without that, but I'm sure Doug will like it. But do you remember what the line was? It was like, you're like, oh, I heard you have two. I got a set of regular twins, set of Irish twins. One's two, one's four. You had like six kids. And then remember all the girls walking through and Reese was trying to fire off names? Remember? You're like, Anna, Julie, Edgar. You're just trying to keep going as many as you can. I mean, we always had a blast at Reese, and it was great every time he showed up. But did he disappear in season 6, maybe? Because when he comes back in season 7, you're like, I'm a new guy, whatever it is.
I have no idea. Yeah. I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's coming next. I mean, like
the next episode is called The First Cut is the Deepest.
Oh.
And that's where we show up at the editing room. And you don't want to let us see, and you drive out on the motorcycle.
You lock up.
Holy shit. I really am a hack, though, because we finished, Reese, which we got to show you the new show we did, but Ramble On. And the podcast episode is called The First Cut is the Deepest, which is also like a Rod Stewart song, but I'm apparently just stealing from Rod Stewart and stealing from myself. And I'm just a mess. But right. We haven't seen Reese yet. By the way, Reese, your fucking hair choices in this episode.
That's just his hair, bro.
No, but he does it differently in different scenes when he's more manic. And was that, I had nothing to do with that. Was that your choice? Was that something you came up with the hair department?
I mean, the costume, the Billy Walsh costume in Welcome to the Jungle are epic.
Outrageous.
Amazing.
The poncho is awesome, and the hat. The hat and the poncho.
Crazy poncho. I love the scene where I take the hat off the guy in the bar, and I take the hat off the guy's head. And then I'm wearing that hat the rest of the
You look like Outlaw Josie Wales. He looks like Clint Eastwood.
He really does.
But his hair, there's one scene where he looks like Albert Einstein, you know, when he's watching the dailies, like a crazed lunatic.
I like the look he got going right now with the man bun right there.
Yeah.
Not every dude could pull that one off there.
Look at that hair.
Hair is the sunshine.
Look at Doug. Are you envious? Doug is so envious.
Doug wants to run his fingers through your hair.
But Dylan, I was going to say, Dylan's clearly attracted to you. Thank God you didn't get together in Georgia. If you started busting out the guitar, God knows what Dylan would have done. He loves a guitar player.
Look at the bongos going.
You know, but you see what, for everybody, actors out there, if you look at Reese, this is a department head dream. They can take this look and turn him into anything. Because when Reese did the Gotti movie, I was on the phone with him and he looked something like this. And then he walks on set and they can just make it do whatever they want. They can't make you grow your hair. No. They can't make you.
But I would also say this, and I think
he became that character.
But
I
would also say this, Reese, forgetting your hair, which is good hair. We all like your hair. He really, he's such a regular guy, it seems. But Reese, you really are. You're a real artist, and you bring a level of creativity to something. And I don't say this like in bullshit. You should have been nominated. I believe in one. I'd like to see who won. But you take over this episode and
he might not have been submitted.
Of course.
Yeah, I think someone's got to push that through.
I'm telling you, the deal is you have to be a series regular.
It's political.
You got to be a series regular.
Definitely political.
Yeah, or somebody has to submit you under a guest star category.
You got to buy Rolex for everyone. Rolex is for everyone.
I think your representatives might have been asleep at the wheel on that one.
I don't quite know how it works, but what I will say is Matt Damon and this episode with Reese are two of... I mean, they're just two guys who come in as, you know, co-stars essentially and take over an episode, and it's so fucking memorable. And I don't know, every moment that I'm watching you in this is really great. So I thank you for that. We thank you for coming on. I hope you know, when you're in town, maybe we could at least get together
that
either
hair.
Way. So
he looks amazing. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Reese.
Where's the guitar, Reese? Play a song. Play a song for Dylan.
Look at the hair. I mean, the guy, Reese, you look great, bro.
You know what Reese looks like right now? He looks like on the cover of like the fucking romance novel. We throw like a fan and let it
roll. We get a fan flying through.
Fabio.
That
he looks like Fabio.
Fabio.
Yo, Reese, I was thinking the other day. How old is your eldest child?
Oh, she just turned 15, man.
Okay.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay. Remember that party that you had at your house? And Kat was like 8 or 9 months pregnant. So that party, by the way, wild party. Reese had an epic house party. And that was 15 years ago that party was, which is insane.
Yeah, you were at one of my parties too with the whole family. We were all in the pool playing pinball and whatnot.
Really?
Where? Oh, yeah, you didn't sounds get the like invite, a wild Kev. Party.
Kev's mad you didn't get the invite.
I'm sure I got the invite. There is no party without me.
Hey, Connelly, you want to come over for a pinball and pinata party? It sounds awesome.
We're shooting basketball late into the night.
We're going to be playing. Yeah, we're going to be playing a little ping pong and floating around in the pool with the kids. Yeah, I'm going to head out.
Foosball party.
Now I have a kid. Maybe I come out. But in those days, I'm like, maybe I'll come by later on. Maybe
I'm going out to the nightclub.
I don't know if you heard this, but I'm now crazier than you. I'm having a kid, by the way. So.
Did you know that?
I knew that, by the way. And Connelly had a kid too, huh?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Connelly's like 2 years ahead of me already. So.
My kid's getting ready to graduate.
It's a boy, Kevin?
No, girl. Little girl, Kennedy.
Oh, girl. Right.
Kennedy Cruz. She's half Medellin. She's half Colombian.
Well, I'm excited. All right. Anyway, Reese, you're the man. We love you. And let's get together when you're here. And be well. Say hello to Kat and the kids. And we'll do some
Din
Tai Fung. By the way, I was there an hour ago, Reese. Right before this.
Where is Din Tai Fung, by the way? In Century City?
Well, now there's one in Century City.
But where's the good one? Where's the old school one?
Well, the old school one's in China. But Reese and I used to, take his bike.
I sent you I was there once. I sent you a picture from Hong Kong.
But where was the one where you guys used to meet up at?
So Reese and I used to go to the Glendale Galleria. And one time I get there and he goes, I call him. I go, yo, how far out are you? He goes, I didn't realize we would take this long. I'm on my bike. But it's Schwinn. He took his bike out to Glendale.
He was on a 10-speed bike.
No, it's an Arcadia, Doug. That was the Arcadia.
Was it Arcadia?
Once.
The original out here, which is awesome.
I fucking rode my bicycle to Arcadia. Oh
my God. It wasn't the 650 either. It was the 10-speed.
Unreal. Unbelievable. All right. We'll see you in a couple. You're the man. And
that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Victory the podcast.
Welcome to the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle. We'll be back. I don't know. So
one of these days.